My next guest has now been in Chicago for a little bit over a year. Will Davis is the artistic director for the American Theater Company here in town, and he's bringing the Wild West to the stage with the off-Broadway smash Men on Boats. It's a tale about 10 explorers who take the journey down the Colorado River in the late 19th century to explore uncharted territory. The show was a hit in New York City, where Davis first directed the play, and the title Men on Boats is fitting because there are no boats and there are no men. Instead, the cast is gender fluid. It's a mix of people who identify as women and gender queer, actors that don't define themselves as one gender or another. Will Davis knows firsthand the conflict over gender. He transitioned from a woman to a man, and now the 33-year-old is one who defies categories, just like his work on the stage. The show Men on Boats is running through February 12th at the American Theater Company in Lakeview, 1909 West Byron. And Will Davis is back in studio. Good to see you. Thanks for being here.
So good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Last time we talked, you were settling back in. You had spent your college years here in Chicago. How's it been for a year now? You've sort of gotten every season out of the way here.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's been wonderful to be back. The community's been so welcoming and so generous and kind, and really just getting, I feel like, a continual vote of confidence from everyone. And then there's the sort of bizarre piece of it, which is, you know, when I lived here in the early 2000s, I was just a very different person. In, you know, I mean that sort of as a metaphor, but also like literally,
literal,
you know,
right,
literally
right.
A different person. And so there's a little bit, of craziness for me when I will like turn down a street and suddenly just have this really vivid memory,
yeah.
You know. And that actually it played in a lot to my choice about where to rent an apartment. I thought about it for a while, like, do I want to re-inhabit an old space or break new ground somewhere new? But then ultimately what I decided to do is I have the pure joy of walking to work. I have a 10-minute walk to work.
That's great,
I can
right?
bring my own little cup of coffee. So I'm living just around the corner from the theater.
I mean, as my curiosity once asked the question about, you know, when you're in a position where you do transition like mm-hmm. this, does that happen a lot where you think about a past life when you turn a corner, or when things you see that remind you of years ago? I mean, are your memories affected by the transition?
You know, it's interesting. I think it's a little of both. I will say, personally, I'm kind of a master compartmentalizer, which is great for work, not awesome for my personal life. But, you know, it allows me to sort of be here now, wherever that may be. And so I don't really have a lot of, you know, trails of the past coming with me. But at the same time, I think something that gets a little confusing for folks when they're dealing with people who have transitioned is I'm still here. You know, there is not actually another version
right.
of me who's dead. You know, that's maybe easier to sort it like that in your head to
yeah,
think that
seems,
person's
yeah,
gone.
Yeah, maybe that seems more logical that
yeah.
way, but that's not the case, right?
No, I'm still here. You know, there's and I think actually it's a fairly relatable point. You know, we all change through our lives, and some of us do that in a far more literal public way. But what's the thing about like your cells regenerating every 7 years or something
yeah,
like
right.
that, right? So like, yeah, there's so there are absolutely, you know, my whole life comes with me, but I do have the like distinct pleasure of being able to sort of re-inhabit my body and my lived experience in a way that now feels right for me, and you know, every day is a good day.
Well, it's a nice transition to what's happening at the theater, at the American Theater Company, because a theater company that, when we talked about this last year, it's a traditional theater company that did a lot of almost documentary type nonfiction
mm-hmm.
work,
mm-hmm.
And you come from a background, and I like the phrase, and I saw this phrase, I think it was in the Reader piece that you were on the front cover of, because I saw you at the bus stop. Wild theatricality,
mm-hmm.
this concept of moving the theater from one style to another. I mean, talk about ushering in change when a theater company has had such tradition in one form.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think there's a couple things that come to mind. And the first is that one of the things that I have in common with my predecessor is a love of new work and the development of new work and asking questions about how we make that work. So in that way, I'm building on that legacy. But I will say one of the reasons for me to take this job was thinking about some of these issues that feel critical to me, these questions of how can we be committing to and lifting up the trappings of the theater, and thinking about how, you know, I some of the most amazing work that I've ever seen has been when I've watched the limited palette of what we can do in the theater, that finite set of resources, opening up a infinite world or experience to you in some way.
And that's practical in the sense of how you stage a play, but it's also metaphorical in the way that, you know, the way you tell the story of the play.
Exactly. And so I am very interested in figuring out how, and we're on the road, trains left the station, whatever other metaphor you want, you know, but figuring out how ATC becomes a Chicago home for work that experiments with form. And when I say form, I'm talking about storytelling and structure. And I'm putting into, you know, ATC's sense of style and aesthetics, the sort of the two rules I have for myself as a director for when I'll say yes to a project. It's the two questions, and the answer to both of them have to be yes. And the first question is this a play that needs the theater? Which very simply means, if this play would look better on film, then it doesn't need the theater, you know, which is why I know I've said this a couple times, and it's just true. Like, plays about people in apartments with problems are not really my interest. You know, I think it'd look better on film, and I don't have a lot to offer from my sense of taste and style. So does it need the theater? Is there a reason why live time and space and your body as the audience are required to really get the full experience of this work? And then the second question is there something on the page in the script, or, you know, I don't always work with scripted work. Is there something, you know, inside the rubric of, you know, what the piece is going to be that is impossible to stage? And the answer to that question has to be yes. And then I'm interested.
Then you're interested.
Yeah. Because I want to figure out how, like, how I, for example,
much more challenging,
right? Men on Boats is a really a perfect example. Like, I'm telling you, we are going to be in this room together, where the chairs face one way, and I am going to give you boat, water, canyon, capsize. You know, all these crazy things that they're not crazy, but things that seem like, well, how on earth are you going to give me really sort of like the heartbeat of that experience in the theater, and not something that feels thin and cliche, you know? So those feel like impossible questions. And if you have apprenticed yourself to a life of art making, at least in my view, it feels like those are the only questions to answer.
We're talking with Will Davis. He's the artistic director for the American Theater Company here in Chicago. He's also the director of Men on Boats, which is up at the ATC Theater in Lakeview, 1909 West Byron, running through February 12th. You know, it is a regional premiere. Mm-hmm. You did this show off-Broadway in New York City.
That's right.
And it's interesting because you got such great reviews, you know, the New York Times. I forgot. It's something about genius. It was a ton of genius stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I appreciated that.
But I mean, one of the real that seems to attract people to the play is the casting.
Right.
Because you choose, there are 10 men. It's men on boats, 10 men that are on this expedition, and none are played by men.
Right.
So talk about that. Talk about that choice to do that, to really be gender fluid, as I said in the intro, to quote unquote gender fluid with casting.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I want to say is, yes, I directed the show off Broadway. And when we decided that it would be the season opener for my first season at ATC, and also the first season of, you know, the new paradigm at ATC, I also said that what we were going to need to do is rebuild the piece from the ground up with the Chicago Brain Trust. So this show is in no way imported from its New York run.
Okay.
It's been completely redesigned, completely recast, completely rethought. So these things I just said to you about Boat Water Canyon, which took me a long time to figure out in New York, I was like, well, let's figure it out again, you know, like, and really.
You like to figure things out.
Yeah, I'm a tinkerer.
Yeah, right.
I am a tinkerer, you know, and so I just want to say that, interestingly, this is the third iteration of the show, but it is completely different from from what we did in New York. And the thing about the casting, before we delve too far into gender, I just want to say is there's one other, I'm going to use this word rubric again, but, you know, one other rubric, casting rubric for me, which is that when I'm auditioning folks for this show, I'm looking for 10 people, all of whom individually could perform the entire show handily without the other nine. So I'm looking for big personalities, people who fill up a room, who you either you can't look away from them, or they make you laugh so hard, or there's just something kind of strange that you're just like drawn inside their eyes, you know? And so it makes for a very robust room, a very, you know, bombastic, loud room.
And larger than life characters.
Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. So that's a requirement. And then the thing about the other piece of the casting is that part of this is something that's coming directly from the playwright. So the playwright, Jacqueline Backus, has on the second page of her script a casting note. And I am paraphrasing right now. But basically what she says is, this show needs to be cast with 10 people, all of whom did not benefit from the effects of Manifest Destiny or Western expansion. So it couldn't be any group of 10 people, but it's got to be about, you know, her writing of the story is about a reclamation of a certain narrative. So it wants to be performed in the same way.
You know, I just ask it just out of curiosity, just not knowing much about your job, but how often do casting notes come with scripts that you're going to produce?
Well, that's another reason why I took the job, because I want to be part of promoting that. You know, I mean, because of my identity and because I'm very public about it, I do get sent a lot of that work, but I have a lot of very, for me, specific and ethical rules about auditioning. For example, I send out sides, so, you know, one or two pages of the script that I want people to read, but I ask the actors to self-select who they're going to read for. So I don't, you know, opposed to a more traditional system would be like, I would like you to read the role of this tortoise.
Right.
Whatever. I don't know. Sure. I don't know. It'd be great to see a tortoise play, maybe. But you know what I mean? That so it is rare, but it is not as rare as it has once been. And recently, in the last few years, we've been seeing a lot more conversation as a field about issues of representation. And I've seen a lot more work come across my desk where it's laid out very specifically on the page. This is a person of color. This, you know, this is a transgender
person. Do you feel, as someone who is at the forefront of theater, both what you did in New York and what you're doing here in Chicago, that there will be a time when that will be a more organic experience as opposed to a casting note that says, please cast in juxtaposition or, you know, to paraphrase. But the idea being that, you know, there will be more artistic directors or casting people or people who are running theaters or even directors who are like, oh, it doesn't have to be white guys.
Right. Oh, yes. Well, so I'm the first trans person to run a theater in this country, and I'm incredibly proud of that. But it also is a sign of something. It's a sign of the shoulders I'm standing on, you know, absolutely. And that feels like, yeah, that's progress. That's absolutely progress. I am a total Pollyanna about things, strangely. I don't know. I was like, you know, if something's on fire, I'm like, how curious, that's on fire. Like, how should we put it out? Wow. You know, I just feel like that serves us better than running around in circles yelling. So why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because I do think the agenda is starting to move a little bit. You know, trans people, when it comes to arts and culture, are sort of at the waning end of a 15 minutes in the sun. You know, it's just what it feels like. And certainly what needs to be accomplished has not been accomplished in totality, but you can't do that in 15 minutes anyway. But I do think that there are enough people who are using the platform of a job like an artistic director job to think about how they are shepherding a civic space and how they are part of a larger conversation about, you know, fellowship and togetherness through art making.
It's the show's Men on Boats.
Yes.
It's getting good reviews, and it's not the same show that was in New York, but it is and it's not. So let's just, that's, yeah.
I mean, I have to tell you, so the cool thing about this production is when you're, I would assume most directors feel this way. You open a show and you sit in the back of the house and you're making a list, whether you want to or not, in your head of coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Of course.
So I have had the pleasure of going back into rehearsal only with my coulda, woulda, shoulda list.
Oh, okay.
You know?
So that does work, right? Yeah, that's interesting.
So to me, these sequences, and I'm not describing this very well, but I just want to say, like, more than half of the play, these guys are on a boat, on four boats, and then, I don't know, maybe less. They are on a series of boats in a river rapid, and that is the play. Like, that is the play. And so for me, because I'm also a choreographer, I come from a dance background. So for me, figuring out how to give you some sense of river, like, I'm telling you, there are 10 people moving in lockstep unison with each other, being a river. And, you know, I for the New York production, I watched a lot of bobsled videos. That felt like really a good informative material. But for the physical score for the Chicago production, I've been watching mostly videos of speed skating.
Wow.
And also there is one through line of inspiration that's been always there, which is sort of like portraiture of the era and also the revolutionary era. So the portrait, George Washington crosses the Delaware, you know, where he's in his tricorn hat, he's got his foot up and everyone's rowing like crazy, but he's like, I'm here and I'm crossing the Delaware. Like that, again, that sort of manifest eagle-eyed American bravado, that also very much informs the physicality of the show.
Men on Boats is on stage at the ATC Theater in Lakeview, 1909 West Byron, through February 12th. Will Davis is the artistic director, also director of the show. Will, great to see you. Thanks for being here, and I can't wait to have you back again.
Such a pleasure. Such a pleasure. Thank you.